A cheerful Christmas morning to all. We're so happy to be coming your way again. I have two things of interest for this time. First, Christ is born, and within a few days it appears that we will have a new year in which to serve His cause in the earth. Let me begin by expressing each with a poem. Christ is born. Christ is born, the King of Glory, born in yonder Bethlehem, and the shepherds heard the story which the angels brought to them. Christ is born, the King of Glory, born to save the human race. Tell, oh, tell the wondrous story of His tender love and grace. God, in His great love and kindness, saw this world all lost in sin, lost in darkness and in blindness, and no peace and rest within. So He sent a mighty Savior to set all sin's captives free. By His power and by His favor, all may have the victory. Hallelujah, tell the story and proclaim His wondrous birth. Christ is born, the King of Glory, King of kings of all this earth. I'm glad to say serenely, Christ is also born in me. May I ask the question keenly, is He also born in thee? Another year. Another year is dawning. Dear Master, let it be, in working or in waiting, another year with thee. Another year of leaning upon thy loving breast, of ever-deepening trustfulness, of quiet, happy rest. Another year of mercies, of faithfulness and grace. Another year of gladness in the shining of thy face. Another year of progress, another year of praise, another year of proving thy blessing all the days. Another year of service, of witness for thy love, another year of training for holier work above. Another year is dawning, dear Master, let it be, on earth or else in heaven, another year for thee. And now this scripture. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Matthew 7:13-16. There are two ways along the journey of life, each leading directly to eternity, but the ends thereof are widely different. Both of these ways can be found, but only one can be traveled at a time, as they lead in opposite directions. The one leads to the regions of the lost, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41, and those who end their pilgrimage here on earth, on this road, will reap the reward of the wicked throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity and the torments of hell. This seems a horrible one. No pen can truly picture the bitter remorse felt, nor describe the horrors and untold agonies of lost souls who've gone their own ways to the pit of destruction. The other way leads to a blessed place of inheritance prepared for the righteous. Listen, then shall the King say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25:34. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? There shall they forever dwell in the realms of peace and glory in the presence of God, to swell the chorus of the redeemed with the angels, where parting will be no more. The human heart, before touched by the tender chords of divine love, has a natural inclination toward the things and the way that lead from the path of peace and way of truth. Yet, there's also within the bosom something which at times during lifetime makes one conscious of the existence of a divine being who has power to deliver from the sinful life. Even the savage, in his wild, ignorant, and uncultured state, roaming the forest and sweeping over plains, hunting and scouting, acknowledges a higher power whom he worships according to his understanding. While it seems natural for people to wander into the ways of sin as soon as they reach the age of accountability, it is also natural among all nations of the earth to have some form of worship. In heathen lands, where they never have heard of Christ the Lord, they have chosen gods of their own. While some worship the sun, moon, or stars, others make gods out of wood, stone, or metal, or select something else fully as powerless to which they bow in humble submission or do penance, and imagine these things possess some supernatural power. Many heathen worshipers are led to perform some frightful deeds, and some sad scenes are witnessed among them, even to the sacrificing of human life to appease the wrath of their false, lifeless God. Many sad but true experiences have been told of their superstitious performances, which only show to us the great need of helping in some manner to point them to a better way. But let us deal more directly now with those who have had at least some prior knowledge of the God of heaven and his Son, Jesus Christ, who came into the world as a Savior from sin to redeem such as were willing to forsake their evil ways. There are millions who have heard of Christ, who believe in Christ, that he has power to forgive sins, yet they are without a knowledge of a real heart experience, only having a head belief or an inclination of the mind toward the living God. And to be plain about the matter, they are on the broad way to destruction, going on in the ways of sin. Many of that number are professing to be saved, but are not awakened to their real condition. There are some who try to identify God with nature and would like to believe that there is no God to render judgment against the wicked. But their pet theories and views are swept away like chaff before the wind by the truths of his word. It is human nature to drift into the ways of the world and seek such pleasures as have a tendency to gratify the desires of a gracious heart, even though there may be strong religious inclinations implanted in the heart. So, it is human nature to thus drift in the wrong direction. It might be better to say that because of the depraved condition of the heart, through the fall of man, humanity is led onward and governed to a great extent by the carnal mind instead of by the divine, and continues in this way until the heart is changed by the power of God. Many go along their way for years and thus spend the greater part of their lives and seem to enjoy the pleasures of the world and have but little concern about the future until brought to a point where death stares them in the face. That is when they begin as never before to realize that their worldly pleasures have only been as dross in comparison to the bliss of heaven, which they will miss if hurled into eternity in such a condition. But all people do not even have the enjoyment of worldly pleasures enough to make them happy, even though they do travel the ways of sin. God has said in his word that the way of the transgressor is hard, and if they do not fully realize it in this world, they will not fail to do so in the world to come. However, we find generally as people plunge into the depths of sin and walk in disobedience to God, transgressing his laws, the way is rugged, filled with disappointments, griefs, sorrows that cannot be fully described nor told. Oh, how dark the way is for such as have not chosen the better way. Misery and woe seem to stare them in the face on every hand. It seems as if the doors of the shadow of death are being closed in upon them, shutting out the last ray of light. But to be sure, as long as there is life, there's hope, unless that hope is rejected unto the end. Would you like a recipe for a happy new year? Then listen. Take 12 fine, full-grown months. See that these are thoroughly free from all old memories of bitterness, hatred, and jealousy. cleanse them completely from every clinging spite, pick off all specks of pettiness and littleness. In short, see that these months are free from all the past. Have them as fresh and clean as when they first came from the great storehouse of time. Cut these months into 30 or 31 equal parts, 28 for February. Now this batch will keep for just 1 year. Do not attempt to make up the whole batch at one time. So many people spoil the entire lot in this way. But prepare 1 day as follows. Into each day, put a generous portion of faith, patience, and courage. Then add some honest toil and work. Some people omit this ingredient and so spoil the flavor of the rest. Next, add hope, which is the anchor of the soul, and some liberality and kindness. Afterward, allow a reasonable time for rest and reading of the word as well as meditation. Add one purpose of heart, to please God above all else. Mix all of this thoroughly with love and cook in a fervent heat. Garnish with a few smiles and a sprig of joy. Then serve with quietness, unselfishness, and cheerfulness. These are the ingredients for a happy new year. Our Father, we thank Thee for the past year with all its problems and victories. Help us to learn our lessons well. Make the new year even a better one of service for Thee and all those who listen to the broadcast. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks to all who have helped us make it through the old year. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying, may your holidays be bright and the new year filled with great happiness. A very cheerful goodbye.